Okay. Anyway, right now I'm at a hotel and getting ready to have a program tonight. I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I drove here by my little bitty self. The Nazis can drive cars. Nazis can do a lot of things, even though they're old people. We'll go get on with tonight's class. We're going to end probably about 5 minutes a little early so I can get to the program, which is about 5 minutes away from here. It starts at 6 o'clock. So let's chant a little bit. I don't have my guitar, and I don't think they would appreciate that in this hotel. Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunjabi Haudi Jaya Radha Gopi Janabal Naba Gopi Yidi Badadagati Yasodanandana Rajajana Ranjana Yasodanandana Rajajana Ranjana Yamunatira Jayuranu Madhava Kunyavihavi Jayuranu Madhava Kunyavihavi Upijanav Malama Giribhadadhavati Gopijanav Malama Yidivaradhyasodanandana Vrajajanaranjana Yasodanandana Vrajajanaranjana Yamunatira Manachari Yamunatira Manachari Jayaradamadhova Kunyabihari Jayuranu Madhuva Kunyabihari Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Shila Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Haribo, 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 Jai Gaur, Haribo, 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 Jai Gaur, Haribo, Jai Om, Vishnupad, Paramahansa, Paramahansa. Acharya also Teta Satashi Shimad, His Divine Grace Abhaya Chadanada Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Kijai ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijai Anantakoti Vaishnav Vrinda Kijai Namacharya Srila Vridas Thakur Kijai Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Rabu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Gajai Sri Sri Radhakrishna Gopikopanath Saya Mukunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Gajai Vrindavanam Gajai Maturam Gajai Jagannatha Swami Gajai Manamai Gajai Shivanikala Sidevi Gajai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Gajai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Om. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Samadhi Chinamani Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharini Nivashesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deja Tarne. So we're going to continue with our reading of the Ramananda Samvada, the discussions between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as to what is the highest goal and also what is the methodology to achieve that highest goal. And as I mentioned before, this discussion took place along the banks of the Godavari River in Rajahmundry when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was touring South India. And this book that we're reading from was written by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada before he came to the United States. And it was recently discovered or recently published. So we are very fortunate to be reading from it. So let us continue with the reading. Omagana Timadanda Shaganjana Shilakaya Chakshurun Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Srila Prabhupada has kindly opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So let's share the screen right now so you can read along with us. Here somewhere. Oh, I understand. Give me a second. Where is it? You need me to my own. Give me a second. I have to pull it up again. I close it down. Okay, I'll just take 1 second. And there we go. Okay, let me share the screen. Here we go. Okay. So the section we're at right now, or we're about to start, is called The Name is Absolute. Okay. And of course the name we're referring to, or that Ramananda Roy is referring to, and Lord Chaitanya is referring to, is Krishna's holy name. Here we go. Sometimes, this is interesting, a homely man is called Cupid. Homely means maybe a little ugly, not very ugly, otherwise you'd say ugly, but someone who has no beauty. In such a case, the name is without any significance. In other words, it may be a label, but it's not accurate, and it's not the same as the person anyway. But this is never the case with the personality of Godhead. Being the absolute, all of his different features are also absolute. There's no difference between him, his names, and his features. He is known by different names. He is known as the impersonal Brahman, Paramatma, the Almighty Creator, Narayana Gopinath, Krishna Govinda, and many other such names. Of course, some of these names are primary names, and some of them are secondary. Almighty Creator is obviously secondary. Paramatma is secondary. Brahman is secondary. It's secondary. Narayana is secondary. But Gopinath is primary. Krishna is primary. Govinda is primary. Because primary names refer to Krishna's actual personality, not simply what he does in terms of the material creation. Although every name of the Absolute is absolute in itself, the worshipper of God as the creator of the universe cannot relish the same bliss as those who worship God as Narayan. Creator of the universe is the name preferred by materialistic people as it is suitable for their sense gratification. The conception of creator does not fully represent the conception of Godhead. The creation is a function, this is really interesting, a function of the external energy. If he is conceived of as the impersonal Brahman, we cannot get information about all of his potencies. His transcendental bliss, knowledge, qualities, and form are not fully represented in his impersonal feature. Paramatma is also not fully representative of the conception of Godhead. You know, it's partial represented, because Brahman is the energy, Paramatma is the supersoul of everyone's heart. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the 18th chapter, text 61, Paramatma is described as localized in the heart of all living beings. He is only a partial representation of the personality of Godhead, Narayan. Then again, the worshipper of Narayan also cannot relish the transcendental bliss experienced in the service of Sri Krishna. So, 1861 is Ishwara Sarvabhutanam Pradesh Arjuna Tishtati Brahmayan Sarvabhutani Yantra Rudani Maya. That the Supreme Lord is in everyone's heart, Sarvabhutanam Pradesh, he's in the heart, Arjuna Tishtati, situated. And he's directing the wanderings of the living entities since time immemorial. Interesting. So in other words, the name Krishna, okay, I think we need to unpack this. The name Krishna reveals to us the most intimate aspect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Other names reveal other aspects. Narayana means the resting place of all the living entities. Govinda means, of course, Govinda is also a very intimate name. Means the pleaser of the senses and the cows. Gopal means basically the same thing. Go means cows. So whatever name you chant, that's the aspect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that you are associating with. If you chant the name of Lord Ram, Ram Nam Sachahe. What is it? Someone asked a question. Yes, I'm attending a program in Charlotte. So, Ram Nam Sachahe, then you're associating with Lord Brahm. If you chant Nrsingha Bhagavan, you're associating with Lord Nrsingadev. The pure devotees of Sri Krishna do not wish to worship Narayan, in whose personality the transcendental mellowness of Sri Krishna is somewhat covered. Yeah, I mean, at least the intimate aspect of the Lord's mellowness, the taste of the relationship is covered, is all in reverent. The coward girls never address Sri Krishna as the husband of Rukmini. That would be intolerable for them. Rukmini, Ramana, and Sri Krishna may be the same personality, got it in the opinion of mundaners, but they cannot be equally relished. If someone mixes up both of the above out of sheer ignorance, that is a defect in relishing the transcendental mellows called rasabhas. In other words, if you refer in the same sentence or in the same description to Krishna with Rukmini and Krishna with the gopis, it's an improper mixture of the rasas, which means the mellows. For example, if I were to say the gopis were dancing with Rukmini Ramana. Now, Rukmini Ramana means the enjoyer of Rukmini, and the gopis are the gopis. That would be a rasa bus. It just doesn't, you know, they're not dancing, they wouldn't dance with Rukmini Ramana. Brahmana, they're dancing with Govinda. So people have some sense of the delicate transcendental nature of Godhead. Do not commit the mistake of rasa-bhas, like those who form the society of ignorant people. So of course we do understand that in one sense, Krishna and in Vrindavan and Krishna outside of Vrindavan are the same person, but there's different aspects of the same person being exhibited. In Vrindavan, it's the only place, and also in Mayapur, where you have these intimate relationships, loving devotees, very intimate relationships, unexcelled beauty, and playing a flute. Sometimes you see in these Hindi movies that you'll see Krishna depicted playing his flute in Dwarka or on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, which would be ridiculous. I mean, he's going to call gopis to dance with him on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. That is the ultimate in absurdity. Although not possible to reciprocate. Although the personality of Godhead reciprocates accordingly with the dealings of its different devotees in different stages of loving service, he has declared his inability to reciprocate with the dealings. Let's go to the top, sure it's the gopis. Of the gopis. The damsels of Braj who serve him in the capacity of Madhurya Prem. That means the conjugal relationship. Addressing the damsels of Braj, that's quite an old word, damsels. Not even used anymore. The personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna said, Ma napadyeham niravajyasam yujam swasaru kricham vibhudayushapiva yao bhavajandurjayageya shrinkala samvrishya tadva patiyatu saduna. My dear cowherd girls, your love for me is spotlessly pure, and it will not be possible for me to reciprocate with the noble service you render to me, not even in many future lives, because you have completely sacrificed the shackles of family life to come to me. That's interesting. Shackles of family life. I am therefore unable to repay the debts I have incurred in accepting your love. You must therefore kindly be satisfied by your own deeds. In other words, even God can't pay the gopis back for their dedication, service, and surrender. That's how dedicated they are. And therefore, Krishna, in order to understand and appreciate and experience the gopis' love, he appears as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The beauty of Sri Krishna increases in the association of the cowherd girls of Braja, although Sri Krishna himself is the last word in beauty. This is confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10:33:6. Tatrati chu shube tabhir Bhagavan devaki suta majje maninam haimanam maha mara. Although the personality of Godhead, who is the son of Devaki, is the last word of beauty, when he is in the midst of the cowherd girls of Braja, he appears like a most valuable jewel set within a network of golden filigree. Filigree is a very fine thread, in case you didn't know what that is, and golden thread. Lord Chaitanya was now completely satisfied by the statement of Ramananda Roy about Madhurya Prema, which is the culmination of transcendental loving service relationships with the personality of Godhead. Still, he expected something more from Ramananda and asked him to go still further. At this most astonishing, extraordinary request of Lord Chaitanya, Ramananda was astonished. He knew no devotee who could know more than this. But as expert as he was, Ramananda began to go still further by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. In other words, Lord Chaitanya was speaking through him. So the topmost servitor, of course we know who that is, that's Srimati Radharani. Having discussed the super excellent qualities of the transcendental mellowness known as Madhurya Prema, that's the conjugal relationship, and Sri Krishna's inability to repay the service of the spotlessly pure-hearted coward girls of Braja. Ramananda then proceeded further in the same line in an attempt to discuss the service rendered by Srimati Radharani, the topmost servitor among all the coward girls. Sri Krishna, the absolute supreme personality of Godhead, is the full-fledged Ananda, Chinmaya, Rasa, Ujvala, Vigraha. So this is described here by Prabhupada. His eternal form fully displays transcendental existence, knowledge, and bliss by his own internal potency called the Ladini Shakti. So Ladini Shakti means the pleasure energy or potency of Krishna. The spiritual energy of Krishna has three branches: Sambit, Sandini, and Ladini. So, hope you understand what that means, or Sandini, Sambit, and Ladini. Another way of expressing these three aspects of Krishna's internal potency is the word, or words, are the words, Sat, Chit, and Ananda. So Sandini is the existential potency of the Lord that maintains the spiritual world and all that. And Samvit is the knowledge potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Ladini Shakti is the pleasure potency. And of course, we're going to read about Srimati Radharani, who is the pleasure potency of the Lord. Srimati Radharani is the controlling deity of that joyous energy of Godhead. The joyous nature of Sri Krishna's energy and Sri Krishna himself are identical, but they appear separately for the purpose of enjoying each other. Now, that's very difficult to understand. So it's not that it's sometime Krishna and Radharani appeared separately. They're always appearing separately. So it's not that one day Krishna thought, you know, I need my pleasure potency to appear separately. No, it's eternal. It's not like a creation in this material world that something's created and then disappears. The tattvas of the Lord, tattva means something that is, continues to exist, not temporary. So anyway, but they appear separately for the purpose of enjoying each other. Therefore, Sri Sri Radha Krishna are two component parts of the same divine entity. That's interesting. So it's like when I'm speaking to people and explaining Krishna, or explaining the supreme absolute truth, what I tell them is that the supreme absolute truth has a female aspect and a male aspect. And this helps with people in the Western world that are very much interested in the ladies having equal say. And even I say that Srimati Radharani controls Krishna. So she, in one sense, maybe in a not an ontological sense, but in a practical sense, she is more powerful than Krishna. Without Srimati Radharani, Krishna is incomplete. I mean, this is really powerful. Powerful understanding, very powerful understanding. And without Sri Krishna, Radharani is incomplete. Thus, these two cannot be separated from one another. They combine as one in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to fulfill this transcendental truth. Wow. This is very esoteric knowledge that we're getting today. try to remember it. You may not understand it fully. Well, I don't think you do understand it fully, but if you remember this, then you'll actually know the very essence of Gaudiya philosophy. It is very difficult. Of course, you have to know the basics. Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana. You have to know the basic tattvas and their nature. That means Krishna, the material energy, spiritual energy, the living entity, etc. You have to know the process of connecting with them. That's Abhideya, which is Bhakti Yoga. And you have to know Prayojana, which is the ultimate goal. And what we're hearing right now is Prayojana. It is very difficult for one to understand the Leela of Sri Sri Radha Krishna, but Lord Chaitanya is the most liberal, magnanimous, merciful, and willing benefactor of all living beings. In this age of Kali, he is readily distributing the highest secret of the spiritual world and only requires that we accept it. That's why it's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that the Panchatattva broke open the storehouse of love of God and distributed it freely. And also, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described as someone who finds out that people are not willing to pay the price for pure devotional service, and then therefore he decides to give it out freely. Lord Chaitanya has provided us with the easiest way to receive his topmost gift. The first qualification is that one should at once discard the idea of Sayuja Mukti or becoming one with the impersonal Brahman. Sayuja Mukti means basically to merge into the existence of the energy of the Lord. The second qualification is that one should submissively hear all these transcendental messages in a fully, one should simply hear, sorry, all these transcendental messages in a fully submissive mood from a person who is a bona fide devotee in the line of Srila Rupa Goswami's disciplic succession, such as Srila Prabhupada. And the third and last qualification is that one should be very pure in all one's dealings in life, remaining unaffected by the infectious influence of the age of Kali. Basically means the four regular principles, because if you're not following the four regular principles, then you're not cultivating the mode of goodness. So mode of goodness means to be very pure in all one's dealings in life. In other words, truthful, sama dhamma, tapaksho cham, shanti raja vamevicca, yana vijnanamastikyam, brahma karma svabhavacam. Equal poise, truthful, controlling your senses, of course, following the rules and regulations. Otherwise, you won't be able to understand what we're describing now. I mean, theoretically, you can repeat. I mean, you have college professors who study this stuff, but they have no real understanding of it. Prabhupada described it as like licking the outside of a bottle of honey. You know, if you have a bottle of honey and it's sealed nicely, you just keep licking it, you're not going to taste the honey. You may be able to look at it, you may understand that honey is sweet, but you will never taste the honey. It's impossible. So, a person who has all these three simple qualifications will have phenomenal success in entering into the plane of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's unbounded mercy. Wow. A person who has all these three simple qualifications will have phenomenal success in entering into the plane of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's unbounded mercy. Wow, what a sentence. Phenomenal success. So let's go over the three things. First of all, you have to discard Sayuja Mukti, which is impersonal liberation. Second qualification is you must hear submissively from Prabhupada. And the third is that one has to have a pure life. You know, not eat food cooked by people who are not yet Krishna conscious. Notice I didn't say non-devotees, because I don't want to do that. So, but to eat food that has been cooked by people with Krishna consciousness or in Krishna consciousness, and also offered to Krishna, obviously, and to follow regulated principles. If you want phenomenal success, that's the recipe. It's like if you want to cook nicely, you usually have to follow a recipe. If you're too spontaneous before you've learned how to cook, then it will be like a cake that doesn't rise. I see, you know, sometimes you have these cakes, they're in the oven that appear to rise, and all of a sudden, they collapse the last moment. Any deviation from the above-mentioned three qualities will completely close the door of entrance, regardless of how one may try to understand it by the strength of one's mundane acquisitions. That's another powerful statement by Prabhupada. Any deviation, that means any, from the above-mentioned three qualities will completely close the door. Completely, that's an absolute word. Any is an absolute word. Completely is an absolute word. Close the door of entrance. And regardless is another absolute word. You got three absolute words here. Regardless of how one may try to understand by the strength of one's mundane acquisitions. Prabhupada is being extremely heavy here. Without the above three qualifications, nobody can enter into Lord Chaitanya's Leela. Again, that's an absolute statement. Those who have tried to enter into it, neglecting the necessary qualities, are known as Al, Wal, Karnabhaja, Neda, Sakhi Bhagi, Taravesha, Sani, Sahajiya, Smarta, Jati Goswami, Ativadi, Chudahari, Goranga Nagari, and many others. And I guess in some future class we can go over all these different categories. These are all deviant, so-called Vaishnava sects. Such persons may be considered worthless imitators of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela. Unfortunately, they are misleading the ignorant masses who are already condemned by the influence of Kali Yuga. So the masses are already condemned, and they're just like taking them further down. Not for ordinary people. Srimati Radharani is the most important of all the gopis, and her specific loving service is the highest expression of Madhurya Prem conjugal relationship. Therefore, it is better that the neophyte practitioners in the devotional field not try to understand the intimacies of Srimati Radharani's confidential service. However, expecting that submissive and bona fide devotees will understand Srimati Radharani's service in the future, these confidential discussions are described by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in his Chaitanya Charitamrita. Devotees who have been fortunate enough to rise to the spontaneous service of Godhead, Raghunuga Bhakti. Raghunuga Bhakti is when you're more or less free of the anartas, lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, and you're still following the rules and regulations, but spontaneously, and you actually begin to understand who you are in the spiritual world, and you follow in the footsteps of some eternal associate of Krishna, or Radharani, and who have developed attraction for Madhurya Prem, may follow in the footsteps of the confidential associates of Srimati Radharani and their assistants called the Manjaris. Now the Manjaris are a young pre-pubescent girls who are able to associate with Radha and Krishna while they're engaged in their loving exchanges. That ecstasy that was felt by Srimati Radharani when she met Uddhava and Braja in her mournful mood of separation from Sri Krishna is personified in Lord Chaitanya. Another very heavy statement. That ecstasy that was felt by Srimati Radharani when she met Uddhava in Braj in her mournful mood of separation from Sri Krishna is personified in Lord Chaitanya. So that's Lord Chaitanya. That ecstasy when Uddhava came to Braj and he was carrying a message from Krishna to the gopis and the other residents of Braj. And Radharani was exhibiting madness. She was talking to a bumblebee as if the bumblebee was a messenger from Krishna and chastising the bumblebee. There's a whole section in the Bhagavatam about that. So that's Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Divyonmada, transcendental madness. Nobody should imitate Lord Chaitanya's transcendental feelings because it's impossible for a living being to reach that stage called Mahabhava. However, at a stage of developed consciousness, one can simply follow in his footsteps and appreciate. These are the hints given by experienced and self-realized devotees in the line of Srila Rupa Goswami. Distinguished Coward Girl. Ramananda Roy then explained a shloka from the Padma Purana. Yata radha priya vishnos tasya kundam priyam tata. Sarva gopishu saivaika vishnor ajanta valava. Srimati Radharani is the most beloved coward girl of Sri Krishna. Not only Srimati Radharani, but the lake known as Sri Radhakund is as dear to Sri Krishna as Srimati Radharani herself. Ramananda Roy then quoted another shloka from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 30th chapter, text 28. Anaya radito nunam Bhagavan Haririshvara Yano Vidhaya Govinda Prito Yam Anayadraha. My dear friends, the coward girl who has just been taken in privacy by Sri Krishna, leaving us all aside, must have rendered more valuable service to him than others. Now, you notice in this verse, Radharani's name is not directly mentioned. It's mentioned as she who worships Krishna. Anaya radito nuno. She who worships Krishna completely. So, but her name is not mentioned because Shukadeva Goswami didn't want to directly mention her name. He would have stopped reciting the Bhagavatam prematurely, and poor Maharaj Pritchard would have heard the whole Bhagavatam at that point, because he was such a great devotee of Srimati Radharani. He would have fallen into ecstatic trance for a long period of time had he said her name. Sri Radha is the specific name of the distinguished coward girl who has rendered the most obliging services to Sri Krishna. On hearing these two statements by Ramananda, Lord Chaitanya felt an ecstasy of his own and said to Ramananda, Prabhu kahe age ka shunite pai suke apur vamritanadi. Please continue. I am feeling too much happiness by your mode of explanation. It is something like a transcendental river of bliss flowing from your tongue. Wow. Lord Chaitanya added, Churi kari radake nila gopiganera today. Anya peksha. Anya peksha haila primera gadatta naspure. Sri Krishna stole away Srimati Radharani because the nature of love that he had for her was disturbed in the presence of the other gopis. If Krishna can give up the company of all other gopis for the sake of Srimati Radharani, I know that he is especially attached to her love. So the nature of love that Krishna has for Radharani is disturbed in the presence of the other gopis. When the transcendental pastime of Rasa Leela continued, Sri Krishna thought that in the presence of all the gopis, confidential and secluded love affairs with Srimati Radharani would not be possible. He thought that in the presence of others, the intensity of private love affairs could not be relished. For this reason, Sri Krishna abducted, so were abducted, like kidnapped, Srimati Radharani from the assembly of all the other gopis and became separate from them all. Wow. Wow, wow. Also, because there were many gopis who were so-called competitors of Radharani, like Chandravali and her crew, and so Krishna would not do this in front of them. In search of Sri Krishna, Ramananda Roy said, "There's no comparison to Srimati Radharani's love within the universe. Srimati Radharani did not like to be equal with all the other gopis. Thus, in the mood of erotic anger, she left the arena of the Rasa Leela." So there's another statement, because all the gopis were with Krishna, and she didn't. She was thinking, I'm better. So this is like a competition, too. I mean, this is simply amazing, the churning of the rasa that Srila Prabhupada is doing here. Thus, in a mood of erotic anger, she left the arena of the Rasa Leela. It was the desire of Sri Krishna that Srimati Radharani fulfill his necessity for Rasa Leela. But when she went away, Sri Krishna became disturbed and in a mood of moroseness, like depression. He left the Rasa Leela arena to search for Srimati Radharani. Ramananda Roy quoted two other shlokas from the Gita Govinda, 3, 1, and 2. Kam sarira pi samsara vasana bada shrinkalam. Hold on a second. It's too much nectar for us. Radham madaya vrideye tatyaja vraja sundari itas tatastam anushritya radhikam anangavana prana vra. Sorry. Ranakina manasa kutanutapa sakalindi nandini tatantakunje vishasara madhava. The enemy of Kamsa, Sri Krishna, became afflicted with the desire to liberate his parents, Vasudeva and Devaki, from imprisonment in Mathura, and left the company of the beautiful damsels of Braja, keeping Srimati Radharani within his heart. Being afflicted by the arrow of Cupid and unhappily regretting his mistreating of Radharani, Madhava Sri Krishna began to search for Srimati Radharani along the banks of the Yamuna River. When he failed to find her, he entered the bushes of Vrindavan and began to lament. Wow. All the above statements are of a very, very high standard of transcendental pastimes of the personality of Godhead and may appear to be like the ordinary stories of a hero and heroine. The whole activity may appear like the lusty behavior of ordinary men and women, but this is foolishness of the mundane conception. The complete picture is of transcendental loving service to the personality of Godhead by the pure senses, completely freed from mundane designations and cleansed of all mundane affairs. Only the highest devotee, who is absolutely purified by the regulative principles of devotional service and who has attained the stage of realizing the degraded nature of mundane erotic activities, it is degraded, it's disgusting, can relish these super mundane affairs, although they are described in language that is understandable to the general populace. The cheerfulness of Lord Chaitanya relishing the above statements by Ramananda Roy is the proof that they are the highest standard of transcendental expression. Therefore, readers should be careful not to bring these topics down to a level of mundane affairs. Ramananda continued to explain that by a critical study of the above two shlokas, we can know that the Rasa Leela is performed in the company of innumerable coward girls, but in spite of this, the personality of Godhead prefers to remain specifically with Srimati Radharani. Knowing this, a devotee's heart becomes swollen with transcendental joy, what an expression, which may be compared to a mine of nectar. Hearing about all these transcendental love affairs, the hearts of experienced devotees are filled with an inexplicable supra-mundane joy. They feel that Sri Krishna is equally fond of all the gopis, but he is specifically attracted by the clever and often contradictory dealings of Srimati Radharani. Thus, she contributes the most to the Rasa Leela. Wow. So we're going to end a little early today, so I'm going to leave time open for questions. So this is by Srimati Radharani Sai. We'll continue maybe tomorrow. Tomorrow is also Varaha Dvadasi. I'm not sure whether I'll talk about Lord Varaha. I probably will. And then next day we can continue. Next day, of course, the next day is Lord Nityananda's appearance day. So, coming attraction. So, anyway, so let's stop sharing. And this is too much nectar. It's almost enough to make me forget about everything I'm doing in life. So, forget about all the anxiety about everything. Okay, does anyone have a question? Because we just have a short time for questions since I have to end early.
Gurudev, please accept my humble obeisances.
Okay, and where's your tilak, sir?
I keep put on tilak. I go to Bangladesh every day, Gurudev. I don't know where it is right now.
Okay, I believe you. So what's up?
Gurudev, I was still finishing my Ishopanishad, and I'm at Mantra 17. And I have one question, that Vayur Anilam Amratam Athedam Bhasmati Sariram. Let this temporary body be burnt into ashes, and let the air of life be merged with the totality of the air. The last line, let the air of life be merged with totality of air. We don't believe in merging. I didn't understand.
No, what but the air of life is not the soul. The air of life, the air of life is what the subtle body balances on. You know, there's a prana. There's different airs. Prana, apana, samana, like that. There's different life airs in the body. Those are not the soul. The air of life is not the soul. Okay? So we're not saying let the air of, we're not saying that the soul, or in the Isopanishad, doesn't say let the soul be merged into the totality. It says let the air of life, you know, in other words, all the material elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, etc., mind, intelligence, false ego, be merged into the totality, and let me go back to Godhead. And okay,
you what understand? Is the totality? Whom does the totality refer to here?
That's the pradhana. That's the pradhana. That's the unmanifest state of the material energy. That's what's
referring. Thank you so much, Maria. Yeah.
Okay. Not, but of course, to be clear, it's not that we're praying to die. You know, it's just like, it's like an intense mood of separation from Krishna, like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited. Yugayitam nimishena chakshusha pravashayitam shunyayitam jagat sarvam. Govinda vidahename. Okay. That was an easy one. So who else has a question? You can type in the text window, or you can raise your hand, or you can unmute yourself. Okay.
I'll ask if no one has one.
Okay.
So it was describing how illicit sex is like the worst. So how is it that the demigods, who are supposed to be better than lethal humans, we're held to a higher standard than we are? They could...
Yeah, but when the demigods have their romantic affairs, it's not illicit, you know. It's just, sometimes it is actually when one demigod steals another one's wife, then that's really bad.
They have all the heavenly,
but anyway, yeah, they're very attached. They're very attached, so they can't understand the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna. That's all. They can't go back to Godhead. I mean, anyone. That's why it's very absorbing or entangling to be in the heavenly planets. You know, so it's very difficult to go back to Godhead from the heavenly planets. From the earth planet, it's pretty easy comparatively, because things are so miserable. Things are so miserable here. I mean, it's just, there they have, you know, the sex relationship, and there's no babies coming out of it in general. Here you gotta pay the piper, so to speak, and there's so many diseases. But there it's not vikarmic for those in the heavenly planets, but still it separates them from Krishna. Any desire to enjoy this world, or any action of enjoyment, separates one from Krishna. So don't worry, don't go to the heavenly planets. You wouldn't be a good apsara anyway. I don't think Andrew would be interested.
That's so gross.
You could preach to him and distribute some books. Okay, thank you for your question. So here's another question. With regard to eating grains from people who are not yet practicing Krishna consciousness, yeah, in regard to it, it just like affects the consciousness. Prabhupada said it can make the mind wicked. That's why I don't eat grains prepared. We see senior devotees. Well, I said, we see senior devotees, Prabhupada disciples, eating at vegan restaurants. At least they're eating at vegan restaurants. At least they got one step there. I mean, people become complacent after a while. And it's not a criticism, it's just an observation. People become complacent. And it just waters down the consciousness, what can I say? I mean, if I had to go, I mean, when my parents were alive, my mother was alive, I went with her into a vegan restaurant and just ordered a salad. I didn't eat grains. But I've been pretty strict with that. I think very strict with that principle, and that's kept me going because, as we know, when Grandfather Bhishma, or because Grandfather Bhishma, ate food cooked in Duryodhana's kitchen, I'm sure Duryodhana's cook was not the highest Vaishnava, then his mind became wicked, and he became basically possessed by some demoniac forces. So I just eat food cooked by devotees, and my favorite cook is me. Because I don't know if I'm a devotee. That's probably the only time I violate that principle. Anyway, Prabhupada said if you cook for yourself, you'll like it. And I can guarantee that's a fact. I love my cooking. I mean, I could cook dry oats and I love it. In fact, that's what I eat for breakfast. I just toast dry oats in my air fryer, and that's it. And now I have some fruit too, and I'm in ecstasy because I'm the one who toasted the dry oats. But if someone else toasted the dry oats, I'd say, what are you going to be dry oats for? This is dry oats. What do you think, I am a horse? So because I cooked it, I'm in ecstasy. Actually, there's one devotee who's very fanatic about these things, and this person will sometimes get what I leave over from eating, from cooking, you know, cooking, whatever. And this person will get these, you know, remnants or whatever I've cooked and put them in the freezer and eat them for the next 30 years. Even this person has been known to freeze spaghetti that I cooked. And defrost it 30 years later. Oh my God. We don't, to be that fanatic is insane. Anyway. Be somewhere in between, a happy medium, you know, like that. Otherwise, like 30-year-old spaghetti just doesn't make it. Of course, if it was cooked by Prabhupada, I probably would eat it. Okay, on that happy note, I have to end right now. Thank you very much. We'll see everybody tomorrow evening. All glories to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya.